Welcome to the first installment of Students for a Global Change. We are a group of students from the Cascadia region working to educate the public on global issues that affect us all. This week, we will be talking about the global coffee trade and alternatives to the current conventional practices. In a moment, we will be talking with Julie and Tiffany, two students involved with the Community Agroecology Network.
The coffee crisis has happened as a result of overproduction and export deregulation. The abandonment of the International Coffee Agreement in 1983, which was a set of regulations controlling exports from each country, was no longer effective. When this happened, production around the world increased, creating a supply larger than demand. Without price regulations and quality standards, poor quality coffee that is mass-produced is sold worldwide. This surplus of coffee, an estimated 500 million pounds, ensures low market price on coffee for years to come. The coffee harvest, only 4 months long, has been the only source of income for some 200,000 Nicaraguans up until the year 2000. In the 2001-2002 harvest year, coffee produced an income of only $31.7 million, compared to the 2000 crop year, which produced $108 million. This is a 70% income decrease. The lack of demand gave only 50,000 people work, sending 150,000 Nicaraguans to the street. Here, they develop roadside communities to fight for survival. UNICEF and the National Health Ministry has estimated 45% of children in these communities are malnutritioned. The monopoly of the coffee industry, backed by coffee's big four, Nestle, Kraft, Procter & Gamble, and Sara Lee, play a huge role in the coffee market. Collectively, they purchase nearly half of all coffee beans sold. This allows them great power when it comes to prices and distribution globally, as well as an immense control over farmers' practices. An alternative to the corporate-dominated coffee trade is Fair Trade Labeling Organization, also called FLO. This guarantees coffee farmers fair wages. Fair Trade Certified means that farmers can earn at least $1.26 per pound for coffee. This is crucial to coffee farmers today, since the average conventional coffee price is a mere 55 cents per pound, and has been in decline since 1985. Fair Trade Direct improves these incomes to farmers even more. With direct trade, the farmers are able to make $3.77 per pound. We will now talk to a couple of Evergreen students involved with the Community Agroecology Network, one of which who just returned from Nicaragua and Costa Rica. They are currently trying to establish a chapter of CAN in Olympia, Washington.
Welcome, Julie and Tiffany. Can you please talk about the differences between fair trade, free trade, and fair trade direct, and a little bit about CAN and what's going on with it, how you guys distribute and transport your products?
Hi, my name is Julie. I'm a junior at the Evergreen State College. I just got back from a trip in Central America studying fair trade and fair trade direct coffee, and I'm a part of a group of students working to set up a chapter of the Community Agroecology Network at Evergreen right now.
Hi, my name is Tiffany. I've been an agriculture student at Evergreen for the past 2 years, and this is my senior year at Evergreen, and I've been mostly studying fair trade, and now I'm becoming involved with fair trade direct with CAN. I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about the differences between free trade and fair trade and the steps that Fair Trade Direct is making to try to bridge the gaps even more between producers and consumers, particularly in coffee. In the conventional coffee market, usually only 55 cents, sometimes 70 cents or a dollar, gets returned to producers versus the almost $10 that consumers spend on a bag or on a pound of coffee. And this commodity chain involves transporters, exporters, brokers, importers, roasters, and then distributors. And fair trade, on the other hand, offers producers from 126 non-organic to 141 organic back to producer cooperatives in coffee producing countries. And this supply chain is shortened a bit and involves basically from the cooperative, there's an importer and then either a local roaster or roasters up in North America. And then they still have to pass through retailers. The Community Agroecology Network works directly with five different producer cooperatives in Mexico, Costa Rica, El Salvador, and Nicaragua to bridge the gap between producers and consumers, creating direct relationships between the coffee consumers in the north and the producers in the south. And financially, the Community Agroecology Network goes a step beyond fair trade and conventional, financially returning up to $325 to the cooperatives. And much of this money is also funneled into community projects in the producer regions.
Tiffany, can you talk about CAN's goals as an organization?
The Community Agroecology Network was originally started by a group based out of Santa Cruz, students that were studying down in these coffee communities, and they realized that what was really needed was that they needed markets up in the north. And so they came back to Santa Cruz and created this organization, the goals being to connect producers down in the south with consumers up in the north. And so the Community Agroecology Network was born in 1998, and the main mission statement of the Community Agroecology Network is to support self-sufficiency and sustainable farming practices by linking coffee-producing communities with consumers. And they are committed to three basic components, which involve action research, education, and marketing. The action research component is a farm-based research that engages investors and farmers in collaborative efforts to improve local sustainable farming practices. And their educational component involves community education, technical assistance, leadership development, consumer education, internships, and ongoing exchanges and communication between the member communities of CAN. And through their marketing component, CAN has developed a fair trade direct coffee marketing system by cutting out many intermediaries and bringing together growers and consumers into what we like to call a global farmers market.
Julie, what are the goals of the Evergreen chapter of CAN?
The Community Agroecology Network chapter at Evergreen is hoping to improve the sustainability of the direct marketing coffee system. And the main thing that we're hoping to do here is expand the demand for direct marketing coffee in the Northwest. And we're also, one of our main goals is to start a student chapter at the college, which would be hooked up with the United Students for Fair Trade organization. Part of that would be really promoting the internship program of CAN and trying to have Evergreen students go down to these coffee communities and continue to do research that could benefit the sustainability aspect of the production as well as the marketing.
What are some recent accomplishments CAN has made, and how does CAN hope to improve its operations in the future?
The CAN chapter in Santa Cruz has done a lot since they started in 1998. Some of their accomplishments include beginning to serve canned coffee from the producer cooperatives at UC Santa Cruz at the dining facilities and coffee carts, and sending over $50,000 in 2004 to the Agua Buena community in Costa Rica for coffee and ecotourism. Additionally, they are sponsoring active internship programs in Costa Rica, Mexico, El Salvador, and Nicaragua. Also, they are beginning to develop a partnership with the United Students for Fair Trade to engage college campuses nationwide in CAN internships and in serving CAN coffee. And that is one of our goals as a CAN chapter as well. Eventually, we would like our Evergreen Food Service to feature CAN coffee once or twice weekly, if not more in the future. And another big goal has been importing and roasting green coffee beans from El Salvador and Nicaragua. And through the cooperative we're working directly with in Costa Rica, we're hoping to do the same by finding roasters up here to ship the green beans to. And so we can just do that here.
One of our goals with the new Evergreen CAN chapter is, like Tiffany said, to bring green beans up to the Northwest and roast them here. And why we're hoping to do this is that more profits from the coffee production and coffee sales would be returned to the coffee producing communities. Currently, under CAN's system, at least in Costa Rica, the coffee is roasted there. And so a lot of the costs per pound are for shipping. And so we're hoping to reduce the shipping costs. And by that, we would be returning more money to the producers who actually grow the coffee. We've done some research about other direct marketing coffee models, and the Bozia project on Bainbridge Island, which is the Bainbridge Ometepe Sister Island Alliance. They are hooked up with a coffee cooperative on the Ometepe Island in Nicaragua. And what makes their direct marketing program so successful is that they're able to ship up green beans up to the island and in Bainbridge and roast the coffee there and return a lot more of the profits to the farmers.
Julie, what were some of your personal experiences that you had with the farmers down in Central America?
I'm actually really excited to talk about this because something that I realized when I was down there was that, of course, I had had plenty of time to speak with farmers and hear their stories, but this is a perspective that is very rarely heard in North America, and I'm really excited that I can portray this other side of the coffee trade that is not expressed all that much. So part of my experience there was going around and interviewing farmers in the Agua Buena community in southeastern Costa Rica, and something that I really learned in the interviewing process of these farmers was that the community agroecology network's direct marketing coffee system has really benefited them, because one of CAN's goals is to encourage farmers to produce in more sustainable methods. And just by visiting these farms, it was clear to see that they were moving towards more sustainable growing methods and were better able to ensure economic and environmental sustainability for their farms and for their families. And I think that something we get caught up in, and at least in the Evergreen community, is this idea of sustainability and really being idealistic about it. And that when I was down with these coffee farmers, I realized they weren't doing it to impress anybody or because somebody told them to do it. It was because it really made sense to them and to their families and just the sustainability of their livelihoods. And so I was just really impressed to see them living in very sustainable ways.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much, Julie and Tiffany, for coming down and speaking with us. For all the listeners out there, how can they get in touch with CAN? How can they get in touch with you guys? How can they buy this, you know, delicious coffee?
Well, I can give you the Community Agroecology Network website. It's www.communityagroecology.net. And off of that website, you can find out lots of information about all of the communities and coffee cooperatives that CAN works with. In addition, they have order forms right there on their website, and you can order directly offline. And I have a few other organizations that I highly recommend that give a lot of good background about the coffee crisis and just situation in general with the commodity markets and fair trade, as well as Fair Trade Direct. Some of these organizations include OxfamAmerica.org, GlobalExchange.org, FoodFirst.org, and the FairTradeFederation.org. And another excellent website for anyone, not just students, would be the United Students for Fair Trade website, and they have a lot of links and information about nationwide happenings and events directly centered around fair trade.
Well, I just want to say thank you guys for having us down today. And to all the listeners out there, just keep an eye out for CAN coffee and remember to support the fair trade movement as much as you can. Thank you.
Tune in next week for the second installment of Students for Global Change. Intro and outro courtesy of the Evergreen Percussion Club. This program was produced by Caleb, Ryan, Colleen, Jonathan, and Caitlin. Good day. Good day.